Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, October 20, 2024, Romans.
Right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to worship you and fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, this great chapter where the spotlight is put on the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4 says, "For what was impossible for the Mosaic law, because it was weak, because of the flesh, the sin nature, God the Father, accomplished by sending his own Son, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle the world will ever know. In the likeness of sinful flesh, he took on true humanity." Why? To go to a cross and solve the world's problem of sin. And atone for sin, unlimited atonement. The sins of the whole world were poured out on Christ and judged in him once and for all. He, God the Father, judged sin, the sins of the world, in the flesh, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Verse 4. For the purpose that the righteous requirement demanded by the Mosaic law might be fulfilled in us, the ones who do not walk or live according to the sin nature, but according to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And that brings in the ministries of the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. The spotlight in Romans chapter 8 is on God the Holy Spirit, who has this unique ministry in this dispensation, the church age. Never in any other time in human history has God the Holy Spirit had such an expansive ministry as in the church age. And he'll never be greater until the millennial kingdom, when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent and establishes his kingdom on earth. So, the spotlight's on God the Holy Spirit. So the doctrine of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Doctrine of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Point one is definition and description. Definition and description. Subpoint one, the filling of the Spirit is God the Holy Spirit controlling the soul of the believer. The filling of the Spirit is God the Holy Spirit controlling the soul of the believer. And that's the best of the best, when the Holy Spirit is controlling your soul, empowering you in your life. Sub point two, some descriptions of the filling of the Spirit in Scripture. First of all, there is the mandate, a command. Ephesians 5:18, keep on being, well, you have in your Bibles, filled with the Spirit. And I point out to you, the word there, fill, is pleroo. That's a very important word, very great word. And filling, fine if you know what that means, but most believers don't know what that means. It means to empower. As I pointed out, it was used in the ancient world of wind, filling the sails of a ship and empowering it, driving it, pushing it through the water. That's the meaning of pleroo. So we have a command. This is a mandate. It's not an option. This is a command for all of us as church-age saints, church-age believers. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. And then there's another mandate, another command. Keep on walking by the Spirit. That's Galatians 5:16. Keep on walking. That's our word peripateo. Keep on walking. Keep on living your life. And peripateo means walking in the sense, keep on living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit. Keep on walking by the agency of God the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16. So there's two different mandates there describing the filling of the Spirit. Now a third illustration is walking in the light. Walking in the light. 1 John 1:7. That's describing the filling of the Spirit. You're walking in the light. When you're walking in darkness, you're walking according to the sin nature. Now, every one of you are walking. You're either living and walking in the light, living the spiritual life, or you're walking and living in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system. But you're walking one place or another. Walking in the light. And then fourth, letters of Christ written by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Letters of Christ written by God the Holy Spirit. That's describing the filling of the Spirit. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. You demonstrate that you are a letter, and this is a letter from Christ. What is that? That's the witness of your life. Now, you have the privilege of, as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, to have the witness of the lips and proclaim the good news. Present Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world and witness to the lips. That's a very important responsibility as you're part of your royal ambassadorship. But here is the witness of the life. You not only have a witness of the lips, but a witness of the life. You demonstrate, you show that you are a letter, the witness of your life from Christ, a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. God the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit. But with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So here is the fourth description of the filling of the Spirit. Letters of Christ written by God the Holy Spirit. The witness of your life. People see it. When you're filled with the Spirit, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And when you are filled with the Spirit, that's what's being produced in you and through you to everywhere you go. And that, it has great, great impact. Great and wonderful and powerful impact. So letters of Christ written by the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:3. Those are descriptions of the filling of the Spirit in Scripture. Subpoint 3, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit that occur simultaneously. Simultaneously at the moment of salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ. At that moment you believed in Christ as your Savior. You were indwelt by God the Holy Spirit and filled with the Spirit at the exact same time. Indwelled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And we can never lose the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is permanent. However, as soon as we sin, we do lose the filling of the Spirit, and the old sin nature takes over control of our soul. When we use God's problem-solving device of rebound, 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, then the Holy Spirit once again takes control of the soul, the filling of the Spirit. Carnality is loss of the filling of the Spirit. Carnality is neglect of rebound, causing sin to multiply in your life, and you walk more and more in darkness. Sin minus rebound is carnality. Subpoint 4. Because the body is the headquarters of the old sin nature, at the moment of salvation, God the Holy Spirit also indwells the body for counteraction. Because the body is the headquarters of the sin nature, at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit also indwells the body for counteraction. Now, the battleground in the soul. Who is going to control your soul? Is it going to be the sin nature, or is it going to be God the Holy Spirit? And that's presented by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5, Galatians 5, 16 and 17. So what we have in this fantastic chapter with the spotlight on God the Holy Spirit, Paul is summarizing parts of it here in Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Galatians 5, 16, so I say, walk, it's our word peripateo again. For I say peripateo, walk or live your life by the Spirit. And if you are living by the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, you will not gratify the lust patterns of the sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sin nature. They are at war with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit and guided by the Spirit, all that goes together, you are not under the law. Legalism. Subpoint 5, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit involves the body of the believer, while the filling of the Holy Spirit involves the soul of the believer. So the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit involves the body of the believer, while the filling of the Spirit involves the soul of the believer. That's point 1, definition and description. Now point 2. Point 2, the filling of the Holy Spirit is one of 7 ministries of God the Holy Spirit to us at the moment of salvation, at the moment we believed in Jesus Christ as our Savior. The filling of the Spirit is one of 7 magnificent ministries of God the Holy Spirit to us at the moment of salvation. As unbelievers, in the status of spiritual death and total depravity, We did not earn nor deserve the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to us in any way. As unbelievers, we were in spiritual death. And as unbelievers, we were in total depravity. We were the enemies of God. And so as unbelievers, we did not earn nor deserve the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to us at all. The Holy Spirit plays a far greater role in the church age than any other dispensation except a future dispensation, the millennial kingdom, when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent. The church age is the only dispensation where every believer has been commissioned a royal priest representing yourself before God. And as a royal priest, you offer sacrifices, but they're not animal sacrifices, they're spiritual sacrifices that you offer from your royal priesthood. And you have been commissioned a royal ambassador for Christ and represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And you are entered into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords through the baptism of the Spirit. So there are seven ministries of God the Holy Spirit to the church age believer at the very moment of salvation. Number one, efficacious grace. Efficacious grace. God the Holy Spirit takes the faith alone in Christ alone of the spiritually dead unbeliever and makes that faith effective for eternal salvation. The call of God to believe in Christ comes from God the Holy Spirit, making the gospel clear to the unbeliever through common grace. The Holy Spirit put His seal on our efficacious grace, guaranteeing that our non-meritorious faith in Christ is effective for eternal salvation. You are saved by grace through faith. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Secondly, second ministry at salvation ministry, regeneration. Regeneration, you've heard the term born again. And I hear people say, I'm a born again believer. Well, that's redundant. If you're a believer, you're born again. If you're born again, you're a believer. But, you know, I'm a born again believer. Okay, we're happy for you. Mankind emerges from the womb with biological life and spiritual death. At the moment of physical birth, God creates the immortal soul life and imputes it to biological life. This is physical birth. But the Lord Jesus Christ told the religious Pharisee, you must be born again. Regeneration, or being born again, is spiritual birth. And that occurs at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit at the moment we believe in Christ. And at that moment, God the Father imputes His very own eternal life to that human spirit. And that is being born again. So at physical birth, we are in a hopeless status of spiritual death. At spiritual birth, regeneration makes us spiritually alive. Regeneration is the ministry of God the Holy Spirit creating a human spirit and God the Father imputing eternal life to that human spirit. At physical birth, mankind is dichotomous. He has a body and a soul, but he is spiritually dead. He has no human spirit. But at spiritual birth, regeneration, the believer now is trichotomous. He now has a body, a soul, and a human spirit. And that is presented in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. All of us are trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit, at the moment of faith in Christ. The soul is the residence of human life. The human spirit is the residence of eternal life. So the second ministry of the Holy Spirit, regeneration, being born again. The third ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, is salvation. The baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians 12, verse 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, into one body. That's the body of Christ, into one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, turn over to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse starting at verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, in union with Jesus Christ, baptism of the Spirit. Now turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's start at verse 4. Ephesians 4, verse 4. There's one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, the baptism of the Spirit. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Notice, there is one body. The body of Christ, one Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that baptism is Spirit baptism. You say, what about water baptism? Don't you have to have water baptism to go to heaven? Don't you have to have water baptism to be saved? No. You don't. No. Water baptism teaches the baptism of the Spirit. And it was a teaching aid to teach the baptism of the Spirit. It demonstrated when you went down under the water, retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial. When you come up out of the water, current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session. It's a great teaching aid. But you didn't have to have water baptism. In fact, Paul got to the point where he said, well, I baptized a few, and he named two or three, but he says, I haven't baptized people for a long time, especially after he wrote Romans chapter 6. Once he wrote Romans chapter 6, everything was there. He didn't have to baptize any people. That explained everything. Now, there are still people that think that you have to believe and be baptized, water baptism. And if anybody is here and you think you're going to go to heaven because you had water baptism and that you had to do that work, that's a work. That's a work that you do. And if you add any work to faith in Christ, you have no salvation. And you've heard my... many of you have heard my illustration so many times, you know them better than I do. But I was working when I was going to Dallas Seminary, and I had to get some extra money to pay for all the phone bills for calling Debbie all the time and buying cards. I sent a card to Debbie every day. I sent a card to her and then would talk to her in that card. And to buy all those cards, I had to have a job, and so I got a job. And my job was being a janitor and cleaning things up. And one night, and I was told to go in after everybody else had left, and I always got there around 11 o'clock at night. And the office of the vice president, the light was on, so I opened the door, and he was there. I said, "Oh, sir, I am so sorry. I thought somebody left the light on." He says, no, that's fine. I said, "Well, I'm just, is it all right if I just clean up?" "Yes. Are you the new young man we hired from Dallas Theological Seminary?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Yes, come on in and do all the work." And when he said that, I just knew. God opened the door. You know, when you're living the spiritual life and you're in fellowship with God and filled with the Spirit, you know when God opens the door. And I knew God opened the door here. So while I was in there, he says, "You know, I am very important in the Church of Christ." I said, "Oh, well, that's very good. Yes, I'm very high up in the Church of Christ." I said, "Very good." And as I got to leave, time to leave, I turned around. I said, "Can you just answer me one question? What do you have to do to go to heaven?" "Oh," he says, "you got to believe in Jesus Christ and be baptized." "Water baptism?" "Yes, yes. Believe in Christ and water baptism." I said, "Okay." I said, "You remember when Christ was on the cross?" "Yes." "There were two criminals that were crucified with him. One of those criminals believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And Jesus said to him, 'Today you will be with me in paradise.'" He wasn't baptized. He was on a cross. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't do any works. All he could do was believe in Jesus Christ. And that's what he did. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, including water baptism. And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And his jaw dropped. He said, "They have never taught that in my church." I said, "Well, if you are trusting in your work of water baptism to get you to heaven, you're not going to be in heaven. Christ did all the work. He did all the work. You can't add anything to it. You just place your faith in his finished work on the cross. And if you do that, you will live with him forever. And it's up to you. But if I was you, I would take the time to talk to the Father and just put your faith alone in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation and leave your works out of it entirely." And as I turned around to close the door, I looked, and he had his head down and he was praying. And I expect to see him in heaven. But God has given us his word, which is clear. It's very, very clear. And then as you learn that word and believe it and live your life by it, it'll transform your life. So here we have the baptism of the Spirit. And all of you have the baptism of the Spirit. The very second you believe in Christ, God the Holy Spirit baptizes you, enters you into union with Christ, and you're in union with Christ forever and ever and ever. The baptism of the Spirit is the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in taking every new believer and entering into union with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in union with Christ forever. This is positional sanctification. In union with Christ, race and culture and gender are no longer an issue. This adds up to equal privilege and equal opportunity to execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. In addition, in union with Christ, we share the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the eternal life of Jesus Christ. And therefore, as royal family of God, we have a double portion of righteousness, a double portion of eternal life, and we are also joint heirs with Christ. We share His election and His destiny. And the principle of this is, to whom much is given, much is expected. And we are royal family of God. And that is a very, very wonderful privilege and blessing. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.